the Mishnah and the whole sugya on Daled Amud Beis discusses a situation where a person did not ask the other person to do some work for him. The other fellow did the work. When am I equipped to pay? I read you a shidduch and you're happily married. Can I charge you for reading you the shidduch? If I read you the shidduch as a good friend, so it wasn't done with teres chiris boil. Let's say I'm a shatran, and I read you the shidduch, but you didn't ask for it. And then you marry the girl. So can I ask you to pay? So bottom line, halacha l'maisa, that's 2 days in Taisus, in Perek HaKoines, and at the end of Ksubis. And a machloik is the Ramah, and the Rav Baruch Beck quotes Rav Chaim, disagrees with the Ramah. Whether the Chiyav, the Gemara, does say that you do pay. Taisus quotes from Perek HaShav. Taisus on Dalet Amud Beis, the third thesis of the Tav, the Mekanim is all. So the Gemara talks about Sadish Ein Asu Yalita, Sadish Hasu Yalita, different cases. The other fellow came and he planted, he built, I was away for a year, he built a hotel on my property. Well, he planted trees on my property. I didn't ask him to do it. And he improved the value. He caused that the value of my property went up tremendously. Am I mechuyif to pay him? So Gemara says, sometimes you are mechuyif to pay, but teres what? So that was a big machlekes, whether that's teres chiras poelim, even though he didn't ask for it. It becomes automatically chiras poelim under certain circumstances, to a certain extent. If I hire you in advance, and I make up how much I'm going to pay, some kaveh, how much the demand maker is here, I didn't hire you in advance. So one opinion is that since it's an umdir in the muchach, that if he would have wanted it, he becomes, the other fellow becomes a poel automatically, even without me asking him. The other opinion is, Rav Chaim thought not like that, that it's not b'teres chiras poelim. Chiras poelim is only if I ask you to do the work for me. If I didn't request it, it cannot be a din of chiras poelim. It's a different din. Whenever someone creates shvach b'yen, so then that shvach b'yen belongs to the one who created the shvach. And if I want to use that shvach, I'm benefiting from it. So that's not right. I'm stealing because the shvach b'yen belongs to the other person. So whenever you have a shutfis, you can always, that's a sugya later on Yud Gimel, you can always break up a shutfis. So if we're shutfim, we have a farm with 20,000 behemoths, dairy farm, so we can divide it. You'll take 10,000, I'll take 10,000. And sometimes it's a dobashem bokadech haluk of a shutfim in an old age home, or a shutfim in a factory. You can't divide it in half. The dobashem bokadech haluk, Mishnah is going to talk about dobashem bokadech haluk. So then you can also, you have a right, either shutf has the right to break up the shutfis by demanding good or yagud. I say the whole business is worth so much, and we own it 50-50, or we own it 75-25, whatever it happens to be. It's not always going to be 50-50. Whatever will be made up in advance. And I can exaggerate, Tosis talks about, I can say, as far as I'm concerned, the business is worth $10 million. And I own half, and you own half. So I'll give you the first option. If you want, you can buy me out. And if you don't buy me out, I want to buy you out. So I can even jack up the value of the shutvis in order to force you into letting me buy you out. So that's in a case where nishtat for me das, either I can buy you out or you can buy me out. But here we became shutvim. I didn't want to become a shutvim. I have this empty lot and you built a hotel. So the hotel belongs to you. You don't say, Roy Ashbach. The karka belongs to me. Therefore, the hotel that was built on it belongs to me also. You don't say Aroy Ashbach. Aroy Ashbach was only by Shvacha de Mimela, by Shvacha de Biadayim. You don't say like that. The one who created the Shvach owns the Shvach. Yeah, but now, because it's the hotel is on my property, I'm going to rent out the hotel, make all the money. No, the Shvach belongs to you. So therefore, I have the right to buy you out. You can't buy me out. You came and you built a hotel on my property, or you came and you planted trees on my property. So you have no right to buy me out. Usually you say, good or you're good. Either Reuben has the right to buy out Shimon, either Shutef has the right to buy the other one. Over here, one of them became a Shutef without consulting. He forced himself on me, he became Shutef. He owns the hotel and I own the karka. So I have the right to buy him out. I have the right to buy him out. And for the fair price. And then the Gemara gives you the details over there in Bava Metzia. How much you have to pay? Not exactly the full amount. Anyway, there are two ways to understand why I have to sometimes pay for services rendered that I never asked for. And the case that the Baalei HaTosfos discussed, they didn't think in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama talks about one who reads a shidduch, shatchem read a shidduch, and the other fellow marries the girl and is happily married, that he has to, the chosan has to pay, even though he didn't ask the shatchem to read in the shidduch. He didn't ask for the shatchem's services. But the Baalei HaTosfos talk about in the Middle Ages, it was very common they would kidnap someone like today in South America and Mexico. They kidnap someone and they hold up the family for the ransom money. They say, we're only going to let him go free if they pay him a fortune of money. So let's say the family doesn't help. The next door neighbor pays a fortune of money. Does he have the right to demand of the one who was just freed that he should reimburse him? He paid him millions of dollars to free him. And the fellow who is in captivity is a wealthy man. So there are more paskins, la locha, that you do have to pay. It's an umdur in the mucha that he would have been happy. He would have, if he would have had a cell phone, they didn't have cell phones in the middle. He would have had a cell phone, he would have called the next door neighbor and asked him, get me out of here and whatever it costs, I'll reimburse you. He didn't have a cell phone. So since umdur in mucha, you have to pay midin schiris poilim. And Rab Chaim thought, no, that there is no such din schiris poilim. Only we should paskin like the other opinion in places, you only pay when there's shvach bien. Here there's no shvach bien. There's no object that the other pillow, that the one, the next the neighbor who bought out his freedom, he paid the kidnappers the money. There is no shvach bien. There's no chetze that he created. Okay, so that we discussed. So the Gemara here points out this. The Mishnah doesn't seem to read straight. The Mishnah says, Hamakev eschavim sholosh v'chosav. One fellow built three walls around it, didn't accomplish anything. You don't pay, you don't force the nikiv to pay for half of the wall. Sounds from the Mishnah, from the Reisha, Tanakhama is sounds from the Tanakhama, that if the makiv built all the four walls, then you do make the nikiv pay. Then it comes all of a sudden, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi Omer means he disagrees with the Tanakhama. If he would say, Omer Rabbi Yossi, so it's a new din. Rabbi Yossi Omer means he's disagreeing with what the Tanakhama said. In moment, we go to service, Magagam Lavas HaKol. That's the same thing that the Tanakhama said. So the Gemara asks, what are they fighting about? It's the same thing. So the Gemara gives five different suggestions. What exactly is the Machlekes HaTanoim? So one suggestion was, the first couple of suggestions were, the Machlekes says, how much do you have to pay? Because that Gemara in Hashoyal on Daf Kufal, if Hayor tells Sosha Chaveir Shaloi Bishus, the other fellow came and he planted trees in my backyard that was bare. Well, he came and he built a whole hotel. I was away for a year, he built a hotel. So I don't have to pay him the full amount that I would have to pay if I would have hired a construction firm to build a hotel. I didn't ask him to do it, so you knock it down so because he did it Shaloi Bishus. He didn't ask me. So he doesn't have to pay the full amount. So that's perhaps the Machlekes HaTanaim over here. So usually when they have a Machlekes HaTanaim in a Mishnah or Braisa and it's unclear what they're fighting about, so the Gemara usually has a klal. Here there are five suggestions in the Gemara. What exactly is the Machlekes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi? One after the other. There are different gears here, but the way we have in the Gemara, there are five suggestions. So usually we have a klal whenever it's unclear, called Tana Basula Tufuye Yossa. The second Tana who's disagreeing with the Tanakhama usually is adding on more, something more. So the first four pshatim are like that. Comes to the fifth pshat, it's the reverse. That Rabbi Yossi is chiseling off, that the Tanakhama is the machmer. So that's the Tesis esk over here, but usually it's called Tana Basulet Tfuyi Yossa. So the Tesis is going to work on that kasha. So the first suggestion in the Gemara is that maybe, first two suggestions are, maybe the Machlekes says how much you have to pay. That the Tanakhama says, Tanakhama holds you have to pay something, but you don't pay the whole value. Let's say it cost him $20,000 to build all the four walls. I would not have spent $20,000 on the walls. I would have spent, when it's harvesting season and there's a concern that maybe God knows them, strangers will come and take my payers because there's no fence. I would have hired a watchman, a guard, for the next 20 years, and it would have cost me peanuts. It wouldn't cost me $20,000 for the next 20 years. It cost me $100 a year. So, and I plan to be there for 20 years, so I'll pay him $2,000. I'm not going to pay $20,000. So the Tanakhama holds, you only pay, what does Igmar call it? Agar Netira, you pay how much it would cost me for a guard during the harvesting season. It cost me $100 a year. So for the next 20 years, $100 a year, $2,000, not that much. And comes Rabbi Yosi, he says, no, kol tanabaso de tfuyi yosa, you have to pay more than that. What do you have to pay? The mekanim is all. He spent $20,000. I don't have to pay $20,000. I have to pay more than a guard. I would have also put up a fence, but I would have put up a lesser $1,000 fence. I have to pay my share in the $1,000 fence. Right. That was the first suggestion. Then the second suggestion was, no, maybe the Tanakhama also agrees that I have to pay Amnena, I have to pay the Mekanim is old. And Rabbi Yossi adds on, no, it's not enough, the Mekanim is old, an inexpensive fence. I have to pay half of that fence that he put up. He put up a $20,000 fence, I have to pay half of that. Right. Then the Gemara suggested another pshat. Let's see. The boy same because he saw but make on his all the boy same is Ike Benayu. What does that mean? Rav Yossi Sovar, Rishon Shni Shlishis Nami Ayvle. Tanakhama holds that since when he put up the first and the second and the third walls, he didn't accomplish anything. He wasn't Mahanahim. The felt on the inside field didn't gain anything by that because it's not being protected, not from the wild animals and not from the Ganovim. So the Nikov doesn't have to pay anything. But once he puts up the fourth wall, then he has to pay his share in the fourth wall. But the first three walls, maybe that's the machlokes. So the Tanakhama holds. Tanakhama sover revisu di ayvle. Avlo rishon shnei shlishi is lo yavle. Biyasov rishon shnei shlishi is nami yavle. What's the machlokes? Why he pays the may rishon shnei shlishi? So that's a machlokes here, Rashi and Tosfos. So Tosfos quotes the Rashi, and they're not happy about the Rashi. What does Rashi say? Tanakhama holds you don't pay al demei harishayin lo yaivle. That's four lines from the bottom in Rashi. The fish yotza mehem zaka bibezin. Shehoyu sham yamim rabim v'lo ha'ilu lo. He put up three fences from the Rashi. The way Tosfos understood the Rashi, it sounds like if they would have gone to a din Torah, not that they went to a din Torah. If they would have gone to a din Torah, when he put up the three fences, if he would have gone to the third, Bezin would have said his potter. So a couple of years go by, and then the Makiv puts up the fourth wall. So since it was Hoyusham Yamim Rabim, Velohilolo, put up the three fences a long time ago. And if they would have gone to Bezin, he would have not won anything. So even though now when the Makiv puts up the fourth fence, he's being Mahana the Nikiv, he can't make the Nikkev pay for everything. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you pay for all four. So that's what Tosfos asks on Rashi. Tosfos Shnir Shlishis Loi. So Tosfos quotes, a Bekuntres Pirush L'fish Kvayotza Min HaShlosha Mibezen Zakai. That's the Loshon of Rashi. So Tosfos says, V'koshek Tzas, Im Ken Gamber V'yis Yotza Zakai, even when he puts up the fourth wall, if there's a big opening in the fourth wall, till he completes the fourth wall, it'll take a week or two till he finishes the fourth wall. So he shouldn't have to pay anything until the last section of the fourth wall. So the pashtus is that Rashi explained why that's not a kasha. Rashi says, and the fourth line from the bottom, Shehoyu Sham Yamim Rabim V'lo, because he put up the first three walls years ago, and if they wouldn't have gone to a Bezin, the Bezin would have paskin potter. And now he builds the fourth wall, so the first three walls is considered ki'ili yotze mi Bezin zakai. But the fourth wall, it wasn't Yabim Rabim. It wasn't up for a long time. That's the Pashtus, the answer to Tosfos Kasha against Rashi. Rashi didn't mean they actually went to Bezin. It means if they would have gone to Bezin, if it was Yamim Rabim and they didn't go to Bezin, that's perhaps the Poshe Pshat and the Rashi. The Balamor learns a different Pshat over here. They actually went to Bezin. And the Bezin Paskan that Yepata. So that the Balamor relates this to the Sugya in other Masichtas, in Bava Kamma and in the end of Ksubas, where they say, Kom Dina Ahoda Dina. If Bezin gave a psak on a case based on the circumstances of the case, based on the circumstances there, that would have been the psak. And then, a month later, all the circumstances change. So do you say, once Bezin gave a psak, the psak is binding, even though everything changed now? Not that it's a glowing Muslim afraid that all the information was incorrect. No, at the time they gave the psak, it was correct. But now, the whole situation changed. So do you say, once Zoyz Gepaskan remains like that, Kom Dina, the psak remains, or they say, no, hodadina, the psak was based on those conditions, and now the whole story changed, so you need a new psak. Whenever Bezin makes a psak an error, if you can demonstrate that Bezin made a mistake, then you have to reverse the psak. It depends how serious the error was. If it's the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, if it's a toys and information, misinformation, so then it's mamish a mistake, so then you have to reverse the psak. What if it's a tois in halacha? So the Gemara says, if it's a toy b'dvar mishnah, it's a mamish a mistake. It's a beferish a din. Everybody knows. It doesn't have to be. The Gemara says, it doesn't have to be a dvar mishnah, something in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, what about Rabin and Ravashi? Is when they were completing the Talmud Bavli. So they say there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, what about if he made a mistake in something that we paskin? Shalib b'shalach is also called toy b'dvar mishnah. Din in the kitzur shulchan aruch. Din in the big shulchan aruch. It's a din. The din that everybody agrees. Whenever they made a mistake, then the bezin should reverse the psak. Bezin has to reverse the psak. You don't say kam dina. But let's say bezin. Let's say there's a shaila and it's a machlokes the ktsois and the nesivis and choshen mishpat. So they went to the bezin of the ktsois. If they wouldn't have gone to the bezin of the nesivis, they would have paskened differently. But the nesivis never really proved that the ktsois was wrong. He presented his arguments and he explains why he thinks otherwise. And then the Ktzois wrote a Meshavim Nesivis. He wrote, the Nesivis has 5,000 kashas against the whole Sefer, the Ktzois. So the Ktzois answered 25 of the kashas. He said, just like I have an answer on the 25 kashas, I have an answer on the remaining 975 kashas also. It's questionable whether that's true. But that's called the Meshavim Nesivis. He comes to defend his position from the kashas that the Nesivis presents to him. So if they would have gone to the Nesivis' Bezin, the Nesivis would have passed them differently. But they didn't, they went to the Ktzois' Bezin. So you can't say that the Psak was an error. That's not a toys. The Ktzois still holds that he's right. So you went to the certain issues in our generation that a big machlekes and among the Dayanim, among the Rabbanim who do Dinei Torah. There are certain issues that Ramosha has a tshuva, and most people don't agree with Ramosha, and some do. There was a lot of Ramosha, agree with Ramosha. There's some things that are still being disputed. Arayam Hazeh. You can't say that that's a psak and error. So that's taka a klal in the Gemara. The Gemara has a loshen. Beidina basa beidina loy daiki. That's a Gemara in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza. In Perek Mitzvah Chalitza. Perek Mitzvah Chalitza and Yevamis, there are a lot of prokim. The one self-contained perek, all about how to do Chalitza. You can learn that perek without learning the rest of Yevamis. It's important to learn all of Yevamis, but that perek can stand on its own 2 feet. So in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza, the Gemara talks about the fact, let's say, my brother died and he was married, and I don't have any brother, but if I would have had a brother, my brother dies and he leaves an almana, he has no children, no descendants, so I'm supposed to either do Yivam or Chalitza. So when you do Chalitza, let's say the Yivam lives in a different city. So everybody in the city knows her husband died and she has no children, so she needs Chalitza. So she comes, I live in New York. So she comes to New York and I do the Chalitza, then she goes back to Ireland, wherever my non-existent brother would have lived. Okay, he goes back to Ukraine. So when she goes back, how can she prove that she did Chalitza? She can go on a trip and come back and say, the Yovim did Chalitza. So today they'll call on the telephone. Years ago they didn't have a telephone. So how you going to prove that she did chalitza? So in the days of the Gemara, today they practice the same. You write a shtar chalitza. The bezin writes a shtar chalitza. We, the undersigned, were supervising when the chalitza was done. We ascertain, lishtamaydinu, the Gemara has the text in Aramaic, and we ascertain that the one who did the chalitza was the brother min ha'av, because there's only a need for chalitza if there's a brother who shares the same father. Sometimes brothers should have, they're half-brothers, they only have the same mother, they don't have the same father. Sometimes they go by the same name. I had boys in my Shia that they had the same mother, they didn't have the same father. So the woman had a child from her first marriage, and then she got divorced, and then she remarried, she had children from the second husband, and the child from the first husband goes on the second, on the family name of the second husband. He doesn't. He knows who his father is. He hardly has any shaychas with the father. He's discussing the father's coming to the end. His father is getting older, older than me. He's not going to live forever. So he's discussing what's he going to do about Shiva. Maybe it's going to hurt the feelings of the father who adopted him. He didn't adopt him. He just took on the stepfather's name. So you have to ascertain that there's only a din of chalitza if there's a brother min ha'av. And the only man who can do chalitza is the brother min ha'av. If it's a brother min ha'av, there's no need for chalitza. And if there is a brother min ha'av, but the one who's doing chalitza is the brother min ha'av, is also no good. So it has to say that in the text of the shtar chalitza. Ishtamaydinu means he karnu. We ascertain that this is the brother min ha'av. I have an acquaintance who lives in Zurich. So the girl, this very distant relative, so the girl was very educated, and she married a boy who barely graduated high school. And they were just married less than a year. And the husband felt so, he was so overwhelmed by the fact that his wife was way brighter than he was. He committed suicide. And they never had any children. They were just married a couple of months. So they were embarrassed to do, I don't understand, they were embarrassed to do chalitza in the local bezin in Zurich. So the girl went with the brother, the girl went with the boy's brother to London. The boy and the girl are both from Zurich, but they both went to London to do the chalitza. But the bezin in London doesn't know who this brother is, so they had to have another person to go along. The Gemara says, Eidechot is believed to establish that this is the brother min ha'av. So he was able, he said he knew them from childhood. They all lived in the same neighborhood, the boy, the girl, and the friend. So they had to have, all three had to go travel. So that's what you write in the document, that we, the undersigned, constituted the bezin. We ascertained that they were married, and we ascertained the whole story. And they did the chalitz, and she's allowed to remarry. So the shaila is, what if it doesn't say that line in the shtar chalitza? It doesn't say, we checked up and we know that this is the brother min ha'av. Maybe he's really the brother min ha'av. Maybe there is a brother min ha'av. And the one who did the chalitza is a brother min ha'av. So can you rely on that? If it doesn't say that in the document. Today, people don't always follow the nusach that it says in the Gemara. Sometimes they write the nusach in English. The Bezin writes the Nusach in English. Most write the Nusach in Hebrew. Moshe has his own Nusach. He doesn't write the Nusach. Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer on the Chubis, he has a Nusach for Shtar Chalitza. What does he need? His own Nusach. The Gemara has a Nusach. The Riff quotes the Gemara's Nusach, and the Rama quotes it. So why not write that Nusach? I don't know. I don't know what motivated Rabbi Moshe to write his own Nusach. So the Shaila in the Gemara there in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza has a discussion. What if you have the document from the original Bezin, and it doesn't say that we ascertained that this was the brother in Ha'av? Can you rely on it? So the Gemara has an expression, Beidina basa, Beidina loy daiki. A later Bezin will not check up on the earlier Bezin. If there's, that's a machlokes. What do you say, Beidina basa, Beidina? The later Bezin will, when the woman will want to remarry, she's going to go back to Zurich. And she wanted to remarry, so do we have to be concerned that maybe the earlier Bezin, if it doesn't say in the document that we checked up and we ascertained that it's really the brother min ha'av, will the later Bezin assume that the first Bezin certainly did what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to check up. even though it doesn't say so in the shtar. Can you rely on that shtar for anything? Or should you be concerned? Beidina basa, beidina lo yidaki. So the simple pshat in the machlekes in the Gemara is a psychological question. A later bezdin is going to assume that you have a document from a bezdin. It's a recognized bezdin, not a fly-by-night bezdin. Some bunch of crooks who live in Williamsburg put together a bezdin and they just sue people like this. A lot of crackpots in Brooklyn. They make their own bati dinim, but a bunch of criminals. They make hetamir. Rabbanim shaloi kedin. It's a recognized bezdin, so should we be concerned that maybe the later bezdin will rely on the assumption that the earlier bezdin checked into everything? Maybe they didn't check. Maybe the reason why they left out that line is because they didn't check. They don't know. They don't know for sure whether it's really the brother Minhaf. So the simple discussion in the Gemara is a psychological issue. Do we have to be concerned? Maybe the later bezdin will assume that the earlier bezdin took care of everything. That's the poshut shot in the Gemara. So in Choshen Mishpat, there's a siman about Pshara. There's a whole sugya in Sanhedrin about Pshara. And Avav, let's say two Bali Dinim come for a Din Torah. So is it permissible to recommend they should go for a Pshara? Or do you say, no, the Torah has the whole Choshen Mishpat, the Dinim. What are you recommending a Pshara? That's not right. The Torah tells you what the Dinim are. So one Tana is of the opinion, it's usur, usur liftsoa. It's prohibited, it's against the din to organize a pshara, unless the two parties want it. But you should bring it up, Bezin should recommend it, that's against the din, that's a violation of the halach. We don't paskin like that. So the second opinion is mutter to recommend the pshara. We paskin like the third opinion, that it's a mitzvah liftsoa. Three opinion, whether it's usur or it's mutter, or it's recommended. It's recommended. What is recommended? So we assume if you look through the dinim there and the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, it means that there are two types of a din Torah. There's a din Torah where you're following din. There's a din Torah where you follow lifnei meshuras hadin. The Gemara has a comment in Eilei Metzias, the second parak above Metzias. The Gemara has a comment. I think the pasuk is in Parshas Yisro that Moshe Rabbeinu. Is taking care of all of the entire min ha'boikah ad ha'erev all day long. There was shishim ribo, a big population of people left Mitzrayim, and people had sechzuchim. What is there to fight about? What money did they have? How much money they took? The one came down, each family got exactly what they needed. I don't know, but apparently there were a lot of din Torah. Well, there was no real estate. They were traveling. I don't know. The Jews always find something to fight it. Okay. So they're going to have a lot of the carrot. Moshe Rabbeinu is busy all day and all night. So the Baruch Shalom says, V'haydai talahim asadercha she'elcho bavas ha'masa she'yasun. So what does that mean? So the Gemara has a comment. V'haydai talahim asadercha she'elcho bavas that's din, sa'maisa she'yasun, ze lifnei meshur asadin. That there's a mitzvah to go lifnei meshur asadin. Some Rishonim even counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It's a mitzvah to go lifnei meshur asadin. There's a mitzvah to go lifnei meshur asadin bein adam lamokim, to be machmer a little bit. And then there's a mitzvah to go bein adam lachaver, also lifnei meshur asadin. So in the Mele, there are two types of psokim, that's what we assume. There's a psak of din, and there's a psak of yosher. What does yosher dictate? And just like there's a din, you're not allowed to take shechad. A tayin is not allowed to take shechad to falsify the din. So you're not allowed to take shechad to give a false psak and a pshara. Pshara is not stam, a compromise. It's not just a settlement, a compromise to make everybody happy. Pshara is a psak of lifnei meshur asadin. So in Shulchan Aruch, we usually have a klal in the Gemara that you hear Tosis quotes it. If you look at the Tosis Ches on the base, there's a famous Tosis, Achfei L'Rav Nosson. So the last five lines in Tosis, they quote the last couple lines in that Tosis, that Kishar mitzvahs haseh dem omer loy, if they tell a person I say sukkah, velula the enoy, so they tell a person today sukkahs you have to sit in sukkah, and he doesn't, he refuses to sit in sukkah. You have to shake a lulav. You have to make Kiddush, you have to make Abdullah, and then he does want to do the mitzvah. Ain't no, he said, does want to do the mitzvahs. Makanos atchetetze nafsha. He beat him up till he either agrees to do the mitzvah or atchetetze nafsha. Poshup shat till he drops dead. Atchetetze nafsha. That's what it sounds like. There's a shittim kubetzes there. On that daf, that's in Ksuba's daf Peva. It's a famous gemara. So the shittim kubetzes that no one ever made a tzimis about, the Rab Chaim Heller put out his, say, his edition of the Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRama. Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRama was originally written in Arabic, but it was written as an introduction to the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to lamadatam osam, ushmartam la'asal osam. You should learn all the 613 mitzvahs, to know all the details, and to be able to observe lamadatam osam, ushmartam la'asal osam, in order to be able to observe all the mitzvahs. That's the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. People think that Talmud Torah is to ask a good kasha, to give a good teretz, or to stomp the Rebbe, or something like that. But the answer, Rebbe Kivega has a kasha, and he says, Hashem yoyereinai. So that's a high level of learning. You answer Rebbe Kivega's kasha. Rebbe Kivega wants the Rebbe Shlom to answer the kasha. So you're taking the place of the Rebbe Shlom. He said, Hashem yoyereinai. You're giving an answer. So that's one chelik in Talmud Torah, but that's not the main part of Talmud Torah. Is to learn all of the Taryag Mitzvahs and to know all the details. The Gemara says in Adorim, the original plan was that Pilpul Shel Torah is only going to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu. How to figure out the dinim, how to establish the halachas, but how do you read in between the lines in the Chumash? And Moshe Rabbeinu was only obligated to tell Bnei Yisrael the dinim, like the kids of Shulchan Aruch, like all the details, big Shulchan Aruch. But now he didn't have to tell them how to derive the dinim. And he had the right, if he would want to, he had the right to hoard that information and to transmit it only to his descendants. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara's Lashon is, Moshe Rabbeinu was noig by Toiv Asayin. He was a Toivayin, he was very kind to the Jewish people. So he gave over all the secrets of the Torah Shebaal Peh to Bnei Yisrael. So now everybody in all the yeshivas, we know how to darshan psukim. Everybody learns Gemara. It's open to the public. Everybody learns that. But the original plan was that that's going to be for Moshe and his descendants, Pilpul Shel Torah. And the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to teach Bnei Yisrael was just the kitzah Shulchan Aruch. But bottom line, what the dinam are. So that's the main thing to learn. Anyway, so the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah. And then he assumes that, and then in every section on the Rambam, you look, he has Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yom Tov, Hilchos Shvisa Sasa, Yom Kippur, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Hilchos Lulav, Hilchos Purim, so on. In every section, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to cover, how many mitzvahs says, how many mitzvahs lo says. By the time you get to the end of the whole Mishnah Torah, you've covered all the 613 mitzvahs, because that's the whole style of the Rambam. The Rambam started in the beginning, he gives you the Sefer HaMitzvahs that was written in Arabic, but then he gives you Binyan HaMitzvahs B'Ketzorah that he wrote himself. One line, two lines for each one of the mitzvahs, he gives you the same thing B'Ketzorah, and then he spells everything out, all the details of the halacha. So that's the main mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Anyway, so because the Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic, so most Jews today don't know Arabic. So we rely on the translation of Ibn Tibbon, I think it is. So Ibn Tibbon writes in his introduction to his translation of the Sefer HaMitzvah, he doesn't really know Arabic so well, but he's going to try to do a good job. So it was always assumed to be out of humility, he writes like this. Rab Chaim Heller says, no, Hitaki didn't know Arabic. He made a couple of major mistakes. So he wrote, he put out a new Sefer HaMitzvah. So he used the old translation from Ibn Tibbon here and there, every 25 lines. When he doesn't have an accurate translation, so he corrected it. Now they have translations where they translated everything, Mechadosh, because it's a very stilted translation. It's a literal translation, word for word. And Hebrew doesn't read the same as it reads in Arabic. So now the translation, Kapach has its own translation, others have their own translation. But Rab Chaim Heller's is the same as the old one, just here and there, when he thinks there's a mistake. And he has, Rab Chaim Heller has footnotes on the bottom of the page to explain why he corrected it, and once in a while he has a comment. They say the Chavetz Chaim made a comment after Rav Chaim Heller's, Chavetz Chaim died in the 1930s. So Rav Chaim Heller came out before then with the Sefer Mitzvah. So he said that now that we have the new translation by Rav Chaim Heller, correct translation, you're not allowed to use the old one. Because the Gemara has Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Al Tashken Bo Alecha Avlo. You're not allowed to keep around the house an Avlo, so a Sefer Sheina Muga, a Sefer that has mistakes in it, you're not allowed to keep, because you may paskin wrong, you may make a mistake. So Rav Chaim Heller has in one of the footnotes on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rav Soloveitchik, when he was going to university in Berlin, he used to learn Rav Chaim Heller's Beis Medrash. He had a Beis Medrash. Many of the people were going to university at the same time. So Rav Soloveitchik used to, after Rav Moshe Soloveitchik passed away, Rav Soloveitchik used to look up to Rav Chaim Heller as his Rebbe a little bit. He'd always consult him on different things. So Rav Soloveitchik printed a Dvar Torah. I think it was a Sefer HaYovel in honor of Dr. Belkin's father-in-law. Dr. Belkin used to be the president of Yeshiva College. It wasn't yet university. He's the one who made it into university, made all the graduate schools. But originally it was just a college. So he, Dr. Belkin, married the daughter of a prominent Orthodox rabbi in Philadelphia. So when that rabbi got old, so they put out a Sefer HaYovel in his honor, Rabbi Leventhal. Leventhal had one son who was a conservative rabbi. At that time, all the Orthodox rabbis had children who were conservative. They didn't understand what was going on. But the 11th all himself was an Orthodox Tamachal. So Rav Soloveitchik contributed to the Vatara also. So his Vatara is based on a line in the Rambam, in Mishnah Torah, that was problematic, that contradicts what the Rambam himself writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Magen Mishnah points out. So Rav Chaim Heller said it's a mistake. So Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole shtick of Torah to explain the Shitas HaRambam. So Rav Chaim Heller called him up, and he said, the whole thing is a mistake. You didn't look in my edition of the Sefer HaMitzvahs HaRambam, where he suggests in the footnote that it's a mistake. So Rav Soloveitchik said, okay, it's wrong, it's wrong. So he backed out from that. So when we learned Sanhedrin, he didn't say over that Dvar Torah. He just said he printed a Dvar Torah. Rav Chaim Heller told him that it's wrong, so he's not going to say it all. But now they have Frankel's edition of the Rambam, so they don't have any manuscript at all that says like Rav Chaim Heller's suggestion. All the manuscripts say Beferish like our Rambam. So maybe the Dvar Torah is correct. Anyway, so there in the footnotes, he doesn't add too much in the Sefer. He doesn't really add too much on this. When the Rambam quotes this line, Sukkah Sheni Yosef, Lulub Sheni Yosef, Makanos HaChetetzei Nafsho, so the Posh B'Shat Tili drops dead. So Rav Chaim Heller quotes the Shittim Kubetzes on that daf. It doesn't mean Tili drops dead. You keep on telling him you have to shake a little. The guy says, I refuse, I don't want to shake a little. Keep on beating him up. You beat him up till he becomes unconscious. And she takes an option, means he becomes unconscious. Then what are you going to say? When he's unconscious, he's going to say, do you agree to shake a lulav? He's not conscious anymore. So he thinks that Acha Teitzei Nafsha, he quotes the Shittim Kubetzes, it shouldn't be translated till he drops dead. Itzias Neshama. Itzias Neshama means the Mishnah is talking about a person is dead, is Metame. Acha Teitzei Nafsha means when he's dead. Here in this context, it means till he becomes unconscious. You're going, okay, it's a nice pshat. Anyway, so usually there's a din that if a person refuses to do a mitzvah, makanos Acha Teitzei Nafsha. Now, there is a mitzvah to go with Nimishua Sadin. The Gemara commented in the second parak of Bob Metziah and Eilam Metziahs. He commented on that pasuk in Parshas Yisro, that Rosh Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Hadaita lahem asadercha she'elcho bo, v'samas she'yasun zu lifnei Mishua Sadin." So if he's supposed to go lifnei Mishua Sadin, so can you be koifa on lifnei Mishua Sadin? Let's say the fellow does want to go lifnei Mishua Sadin. Or the people come for a din Torah, and the Bezin suggests an awful lot of money involved. Rav Soloveitchik used to say all the time, a pshar doesn't mean 50-50. You say, I owe you $1 million, I say, I owe you nothing, so I should pay $500,000. He said, that's not a pshar. Pshar is you paskin. What does Yosha dictate in this case? Sometimes 100% in my favor, sometimes 100% in your favor. Remember, we once had a din Torah here, two balabatim from Rabbi Yudin Shul in Fairlawn. They were friendly. I mean, Rabbi Yudin was friendly with both of them, so he didn't want to get involved in their dispute. So that's some kind of real estate in California. It was worth a few million dollars and had a dispute. So they came to the yeshiva for a dinner on a Sunday. And they picked the first three rabbis that they bumped into. I sit in the front of the Beis Medrash. I was one of the three lucky winners. I was sitting near the door. So when they came in, I was one of the first rabbis that they bumped into. So we walked upstairs. I remember, I don't think it was in this building. It was probably in the other building. It wasn't in this building. It was in the old building, I think. When the Kollel, before this building was built, I think. Well, the Kollel used to meet in the old Beis Medrash. So we went upstairs, we had the dinner. So we encouraged them they should go for Pshara. And then it came out. The Halacha was in favor of one 100%, and the Pshara was in favor of one. We didn't give the other guy a penny. That Yosha dictates like that, the Halacha dictates, and Yosha dictates like that. It doesn't always mean you make a compromise. A Pshara means a Psak al Pi Yosha, a Psak of Lefni Meshur Sadin. So Leitchik told this story. There was a couple in Brisk who were wealthy, and they had a Jewish maid who used to work for them. And the Jewish maid was not so wealthy. They paid her a salary every week, but she had one piece of beautiful jewelry. So the couple was going to a wedding, so the balabas, the woman, asked the maid, can she lend her one piece of jewelry that she had? So she said, sure, she'll be happy to lend it. So she borrowed the piece of jewelry and she lost it. So what's the din? So the din is, strictly speaking, that it's balavimo lo yishalem. Since the woman wasn't doing work for the balabas at the time, b'shas havkod, at the time that she lent her the piece of jewelry that she has, that's called balavimo. The owner, the mafkid, is working in the service and the employment of the shomer at the time that the mafkid was the Jewish maid, gave the piece of jewelry to the balabasta. So the din is a balavim, yapata from aveda. So here was an aveda, she lost it. So Rab Chaim, so they came for a din Torah. So Rab Chaim recommended they should go for pshara, and they agreed. And then Rab Chaim said, even though apidin, the din is that she's pata from paying, but he said, Yosha dictates that this woman is a good, she's a poor woman, and she's a very faithful maid. She always helps out at the home. So Yosha dictates that, and they're wealthy people, Yosha dictates they should pay all the money. So he said, that was the psak of Yosha, lifnei meshur hadin, that you shouldn't use that. It's a funny din. Balavim is a very strange din, nobody understands it. Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch has some kind of an explanation in Parshas Mishpatim. He tries to knock sense into the din, why logically it makes sense. But it's Exeris HaKos of Achok. So Yosha dictates that they should pay Hashoyel, is Chai Beyonce, they should pay. It's a quirk of Aloha, Balavim. So sometimes the Yosha is that you pay in full, sometimes the Yosha is you keep everything, but sometimes you make up sure. It's not always going to be 50-50. It depends. What evidence do you have? Sometimes you have evidence that's not acceptable al pidin, so then you may ashtik al pshar. So pshar does mean a compromise 50-50. Pshar is a psak of livni mishur sadin. It says in the Torah that just like there's an iser to take shaychad on it in Torah, so there's an iser to take shaychad on a pshar as well. And there's an iser iva sadin, lo sasa oval ba mishpot. If you know the din is like this and you falsify and you paskan otherwise, for whatever reason, so that's an isa shalol avesa sadin. So the Torah says there's an isa ibis sadin, even in a pshar, because it doesn't just mean a compromise. It's a psak of lifnei meshur sadin. So we assume that you're not koifa. And Shulchan Aruch says you can't be koifa the kappa, the taver and the nitva, the two parties. You can't be koifa them to accept the pshar. You have to ask them in advance, and to make sure that they don't back out, you have to make a kinyan with both of them. The Kenya makes it that they're accepting the psaka of the bezin. It's not that it's a hischaivist midas, not that each one agrees that if the bezin will say, I have to pay, I'm the kabbal upon myself, I'm going to pay. It's not that they agreed to pay. This is a psak. The psak is binding, but in order that the psak should be binding, you need that they should make Kenya on it. You shouldn't be able to say later on, if I would have known that I could have won the whole din Torah, I would never have agreed to the pshara.
Can there be such a thing as toes by a pshara, or is that only for a psak al pidin?
So what you have over here in modern batidinim, the crooked batidinim, and a lot of them are very crooked. So the crooked batidinim, they say, just like Toi B'dvar Mishnah, if it's absolutely a mistake, the psak is wrong. So whenever a bezin gives a psak and a pshara, so these crooked batidinim will say, there was a Toi B'dvar Mishnah. That's pretty hard to have a Toi B'dvar Mishnah and a pshara. They think that the Yosha dictates that it should be like this, that these people will reverse every psak of every bezin, any bezin in the world, and they'll say, it's a Toi B'dvar Mishnah. Toi B'dvar Mishnah and a pshara. It's very hard to have. Sometimes it is a Toi B'dvar Mishnah and a pshara. If you'll consult 1,000 people, everyone will say that it's wrong. But it's very hard to have a Toi B'dvar Mishnah and a pshara. Anyway, so we are in Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes, I think Siman Yud Beis or Siman Yud Gimel in the beginning of Chosh Mishma. It's a Siman about Pshara. So there are more quotes than Machloikis, but the Akoifa, usually a Akoifa on Lulav Sheni Yose, Sukkah Sheni Yose, doesn't want to eat matzah, doesn't want to do the mitzvahs. The Akoifa on Allah mitzvahs, Taisa just quotes this in the context that there's a Gemara in Kol HaBosor, that's in Chulin, Daf Kufyu, that Taisa is Chesan and Beis. Mora says, you're not koif on kibbut avien. Why? Because it says in the Aseres HaDibbis, kabeira sevich v'smecha l'man yorich on yomecha. So that's what we call the mitzvah sasei, she'mat nizchor b'tzida. The Torah promises that if you fulfill this mitzvah, you will be rewarded with an arichas yamin. That's not the only mitzvah. It says honesty and midas, honesty in business also, l'man yorich on yomecha, has a lot of things. Say l'man yorich on yomecha. This is not the only place. So the Gemara says there in Perikol Abasa Daf Kuf Yud that Tesis and Achpiye Aches Amidbeis. That's a famous Tesis. So the Gemara says if let's say the mitzvah Tesis and the mitzvah of Tzedakah says Basach Tivchas Yotchaki Beglala Davar Zay Yerechach Hashem Alokecha. If you give Tzedakah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bless you. Yerechach. So whenever you have a mitzvah, cessation, matan tzchar betzida, so it says Ein Bezin Shal Matan Mitzharim Alecha. Bezin is not mechuyev to be kofa on such a mitzvah. They're allowed to if they want. Tosfos says if they want to, they may be kofa, but they don't have to. If they don't want to, they don't have to, because the person should be self-motivated on his own, because the Torah says, promises arichas yamin. So the bezin doesn't have to be kofa. The Torah promises a reward. So the person should realize on his own that this is an important mitzvah. So despite the fact that we usually kofa kol ha-mitzvahs, so we paskin in Chosh HaMishpot, there are more paskin, that you're not kofa on lefni Meshua Sadin. Why not? So some say, they say in the yeshivas, the reason why is because if the Bezin is going to be kofa on my own, I'm not interested in doing lefni Meshua Sadin. Bezin is going to force me. So let's say, on my own, I don't want to eat matzah. I don't like the taste of the matzah. I'm afraid I'm going to get overweight, whatever. So the bezin is going to beat me up till I'm going to eat the matzah. So I'll be crying, I'll be unhappy, but I ate the matzah. So I was yotzei the mitzvah. Whether I liked that or not, I didn't have kavanah shelo lotzeis. I wasn't angry at the Ribbono Shel Olam, I had mind not to fulfill. I know it's a mitzvah, but I'm lazy. I don't want to eat matzah. It doesn't fit in with my diet or whatever. I'm a diet. So then if bezin will be kofa me, so I'll be yotzei the mitzvah. So that's kofa in all our mitzvahs. But over here, if the bezin is going to be kofa me to do, if Nimishua said, then I'm not doing it b'nediva salev. So then it comes out, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So they forced me to do something, it's not a mitzvah. That's what we assume, lala. We assume that you're not kofa on apshara, and you're not kofa on lifnei Meshua Sadin. The reason why you're not kofa on pshara, because pshara is not a compromise. Pshara is a mitzvah. Pshara is a mitzvah to give a psak lifnei Meshua Sadin. But that's you're not kofa on lifnei Meshua Sadin. You're not kofa on pshara because it's part of lifnei Meshua Sadin. That's one pasuk. The Gemara says, "Zulif nimishu esadin," but you're not kaif on that. There's another pasuk, "Rasisa yoshev atayif." That's on the next daf. That's on Hey Amad Aleph. The Gemara talks about dina de bar metzra. If someone is selling a field and the next door neighbor offers, he wants to buy the field. One has a field next to it, and he wants to have another field. So if the two fields are one next to the other, when he's going to do the plowing or the planting, let's say, here's one field that I own. Then I own another field over there. So I have to plow and plant over here. Then I have to take all of my instruments, do plow and planting over here. So if I buy the field that's adjacent to the first one, it's going to be much easier. I can do all the work like this. That's the Ikka din, the original din of Dina de Bar Metzra is by farming land. So it's easier to plant like this. Shara, does it apply to houses? If I want to buy the house next door to my house, the fellow has nothing to do with plowing and planting. So some argue that the houses that are for living, there's no Dina de Bar Metzra. Others think that it's a debate today. And others think, no, that he wants to have the adjacent house. What does he want the house for? If he wants to have the house in order that when his children and his grandchildren come to visit, he'll be able to put them out. They want to come for Yom Tov. They want to be together for Yom Tov. So then maybe it does make sense. If he wants to buy the next house in order to work on it, improve it, and then resell it to make a fortune of money, then there's no Dina de Bar Metzra. He does not have more of a taina than the stranger who doesn't live in the neighborhood. But if he wants it because he wants his children and grandchildren to stay near him and they're all going to eat together, instead of buying a house a block away, he wants to have the next house. So that's a big debate, whether the Dina de Bar Metzra applies. The Dina de Bar Metzra is based on that pasuk, Masisa Hayoshev HaTayv. So Rashi on the Gemara, on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, learns, if you have a situation, Masisa Hayoshev HaTayv, you have a situation. The Gemara has a story that Grunya bought, and the Dina is that Dina de Bar Metzra, if a stranger bought the field, even b'di'evit, the next door neighbor who wants that field can kick the stranger off and take it over, and he can, even b'di'evit, he can force him, and he can take over the field. That you are kaifa. Usually you're not kaifa on lifnei mishuras hadin, but on Dina de Bar Metzra, you are kaifa. Even b'di'evit, you have a right to take it away. So Rashi says in the Gemara, Rashi learns the Gemara, that what if the stranger who bought the field, Runya, bought a field right next to Ravina's field, and Ravina had the right to have it, so Ravina wanted to kick Runya off, because that's the Dina Bar Metzra. This is called Bar Metzra, Dav Kuches, you have all the details of Dina de Bar Metzra, it's all quoted in Chasam Mishpat. So Runya bought the field Shaloi Kedin. But because Runya was a poor man and he needed Parnassa, and this was going to help him, he's going to have a field to play. The Parnassa that he did, he used to work in leather. He wasn't really able to make ends meet. He made a Parnassa b'koshi. But now that he's going to have a field, so it'll help him in Parnassa. So based on the very same pasuk of Asitza Yosheb HaTayv, so the Rava paskins that he should leave him alone. Ravina should leave Runya alone and should let him keep the field. So that's what the Ravina Tam is not happy with the Rashi. The beginning, the Taisus on Hamad Aleph, the Memascha, Abor, Litzalo. So the Pirish, the first line in Taisus, the Pirish Akuntris, Rashi learns Pshat and Nigmara, Ravina violated, Runya violated the din of Dina de Bar Metzra. He bought the farm that really had no right to buy. And even b'di'evit, the din normally is that Ravina has a right to chase him off of the farm. He can kick Runya out. And it went to Rav, I think. So Rav said, give him a break, let him stay. Who would they go to? Only Rav Safra. Rav Safra, not Rav. Two lines before the Mishnah. On Heyam and Alpha. Only Rav Safra. The Ravina, so he said, leave him alone, he's a poor man. Based on the same pasuk, Asisa Yosheb HaTayv, that's where we established, based on that pasuk, the din of going lifnim mishuras hadin. Same pasuk as Adaitalam Sadech Shiachabav Samaisa Sheyasu. So here it's a similar idea. So based on that pasuk, you should let Runya keep the field. So Rabin and Tam is not happy with that. Al Pirisha country is Macha Rabin and Tam. Hey, Merachmin Badin. That's a Loshan. That's a Loshen in the Mishnah. On this side, they tell you that's the Mishnah in Ksubas Tav Pei Dalet, has that expression. The Taisvis on, if you look in the Taisvis on Omid Beis, on Hey Omid Beis, Taisvis Diba Maschel, Afal Gafta Omer Rabbanan. The Taisvis is trying to figure out where is Omer Rabbanan. The Gemara is alluding to a Mishnah, so where's the Mishnah? The Taisvis said, yeah, Omer, it's a Mishnah in Ksubas Tav Pei Dalet. That's the same line that they're quoting here. And the man died, then he owns money to a balchayv, and he has yorshim, a whole story over there. So the Loshan HaMishnah, Ey Merachmin Badin, whatever the din is, that's the din. You don't give a break to someone because he's a poor man. You're not allowed to paskin unless they agree to a pshara. But if they didn't agree to a pshara, you can't be kaifa. Em rachman badin. So the Rabbeinu Tam Tainis again. Rashi understands the whole din of din of the bar mitzvah is lifnei mishuras adin. It's based on the pasuk. Well, sisa yoshibatay the pasuk in chumash devar. The first tesis in Gittin says that the word get is a gematria. Gimel tes is 12. Gimel is 3 and tes is 9, so that's 12. And the meaning is that a get has 12 lines because of the gematria of get. And then Tosfos quotes the Rav Haigoin that in the Chumash it's not called a get. In the Chumash it's called Sefer Krisis. Sefer Krisis midova kares, Sefer means a shtar. And Krisis means divorce, a bill of separation, that the husband and the wife are getting divorced from each other. So the Goinim made a pshetl on their own that Tosfos quotes from the end of the first parak in Bava Basra, when you have a chumash, so you have four blank lines in between the end of Bereshis and the beginning of Shmos, you have four blank lines in between Shmos and Vayikra, in between Vayikra and Bamidbar, so 4, 4, and 4 is 12. So that's called Sefer Krisis, a shtar that has so many lines, 12 lines in the get, corresponding to 12 empty lines in between Bereshit Shmos and Vayikra and Bamidbar. Those three have. So I wrote about Bamidbar and Dvarim. There are four places. If you have five Chumashim, so there are four places where there are four empty lines. So Tosfos says, no, Chumash Dvar doesn't count. That's just Mishnah Torah. That's just Chazara and everything. So the Sefer Krisis is only the main part of the Sefer Torah is the first four Svarim, and we're not counting Dvar. And others add on over there, Rabbi Yosef Engel, I think, adds on the first Tosfos in Gittin, that later in Tanakh, the Chumash Dvarim is referred to Sefer Ayosha. Why is it called the Sefer Ayosha? So some say that the main theme of Chumash Dvarim is that Pasuk, Vasisa Ayosha Vatoif, you should go lifnei mishuras adin. So the rest of the Chumash is din, the first four Chumashim are dinim, and the Chumash Dvarim has also a ton of dinim, has one line. But somehow they say that Sefer Ayosha. Others say that Bereshis is called Sefer Ayosha because Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were Yishor, they were very straight. So that's why it's called Sefer Ayosha. And others say, no, only Chumash Dvarim is called Sefer Ayosha because of that pasuk, Vasisa Ayosha v'hatayf, to go lifnei mishuras adin. So Rashi holds that the whole din of din of the bar mitzvah is based on that pasuk, lifnei mishuras adin. So if lifnei mishuras adin dictates that Runya needs a break, he's such a poor man, he barely makes a living, you have to give him a break. So even though usually he can be koifer on din of the bar mitzvah, even b'di'evit, even if you bought the field already, you're not a neighbor over here. Even if you bought a b'di'evit, the neighbor can kick you out of the field and re-pay you. But over here, because Runya was poor, it doesn't apply. So Rabbi Tam says, how can you say it like that? But the Gemara treats din of the bar mitzvah as a real din. The Gemara doesn't say it depends whether you agree or you don't agree. Usually you're not kaifan lefnei mishuras adin. Here you are kaifan lefnei mishuras adin. So this one aspect of lefnei mishuras adin, namely din of the bar mitzvah, we treat it like a din. So then we should apply that principle, Eimer Rachman Medin, just because it's a bit of Rachmanis on Runya, he's a poor man, he barely makes a living. You don't say, since it's based on the same pasuk, that the halacha dictates that the Mishor Sadin should be in favor of Runya. That's his time. But I can see Rashi. I can see Rashi's sheet. Anyway, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Avram, Tosfos has two other pshatim here, because they don't like Rashi's pshat, because of that time, Eimer Rachman Medin. That's the Melitza that appears in the Mishnah in Ksubas, in Afpei Dalet. That's what they tell you on the side. Getting back over here again, what are we? We floated far away. Nachum. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what's the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosi. Both say the same thing. Tanakhama says if the makif only built three walls, he can't make the nikif reimburse him. But if he builds the fourth wall, it sounds like that he can make him pay. Rabbi Yosi says if he builds the fourth wall, he can make him pay everything. That's what the Tanakhama said. So what are they fighting about? So first, the Gemara had the first two suggestions were, maybe the Machlek says, how much do you have to pay? So the Tanakhama says you have to pay, improve the value of the inside field by building the wall, all the four walls. So usually I plan to be here for 20 years, then I'm retiring, I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. So usually for 20 years, it'll cost me $100 a year to have a shomer at the harvest season, that no one should steal my payers. So I only have to pay him Every year I'll pay him $100. I'll pay him up front $2,000 for the 20 years. And I don't have to pay him half of the value of all the four walls. And called Tanit Basul at Tfuyi Kosar, Rabbi Yossi is adding on. He spent $20,000 on a real solid wall. That for sure I don't have to pay. Rabbi Yossi also only meant he paid the Mekan and Mizol. He's gaining, the guy, the Nikif is gaining. His property is more valuable, but it would have been more valuable if it would have been a $1,000, a $3,000 wall. He didn't have to build, he would have paid for a wall to make kind of results. It's worth it for him. That's all he has to pay. The second shot was, no, that's what the Tanakhama says, that you paid the Mekan and Mizol, not that you pay $100 for each of the next 20 years. You paid the Mekan and Mizol, $3,000. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have to pay Megal Galamol of a Sakol. Call Tanit Basul at Tfuyi Kosar. No, you pay half of the $20,000. You pay half of how much it actually cost him. Then the Gemara had a third pshat. That what? When he builds the fourth wall, do you make the Nikif pay everything? The Gagal Molav is Hakol. He pays everything. That's Rabbi Yossi added that. Rabbi Yossi, the Tanit Basul at Tfuyi Kosar, he's adding on. So the Tanakhama only meant for the first three walls that he built, and Rashi says it was standing like that for 5-10 years, he doesn't have to pay anything because he doesn't gain anything from having three walls. His field is still exposed to the Ganovim and exposed to the Behemoth can come in. But once he makes the fourth wall, so since if he would have gone, that's what it sounds like, Rashi, if he would have gone to a Din Torah, he would have been Yotze Mibezlin Zakai. So he only has to pay for the fourth wall. And Rabbi Yossi says, no. So Taisa's Kasha, Taisa has the Kasha. So on the fourth wall also you shouldn't have to pay. Because the fourth wall till you get to the end doesn't help anything at all. So you only have to pay for the last bit of the fourth wall. How can it be? So Rashi seems to have been worried about that. So Rashi says, the three walls are there, Yamim Rabim was there for a few years. And if he would have gone to a Din Torah, he wouldn't have to pay. But the fourth wall is not there for many years. He puts up the fourth wall within a reasonable amount of time, within a week or two. So then he has the right to charge him for the fourth wall. What kind of a din is that? Yotze Mibezlin Zakai. So the Balamor doesn't learn like that. Balamor says they went for a Din Torah. After he put up three, they went for a Din Torah. Bezin says, but that was not a mistake. That was a correct psak. Whenever Bezin gives a psak, the psak is binding. You see, Bezin has no right to give a psak a pshore. They can't force a pshore on the Baladin. If they don't agree, you can't force, we pass, you're not koifa on the Efnim B'shuras HaDin, therefore you can't be koifa on a pshara. But if the people agree to it, then it's binding, not because they made a Kabbalah's Kenyan Suda. No, it's binding because the psak of a bezin is binding. The only time you can reverse a psak is if you can ascertain the bezin made a mistake. Either mistake, misinformation. Pasha, they gave misinformation. Usually there's a din in the fashas. The Mishnah has in Sanhedrin, Daflam, and Besam, and all the Sora Chelukim Shabbe Mamanus Linefashis. So one of the Chelukim is that a Din and Nefashis, you need a Bezin of 23 or Sanhedrin. Din and Mamanus, it's enough for the Bezin of 3. But then the other 9 Chelukim are based on the idea of the Hitzilah Hu'eda. You bend over backwards because instead of giving the fellow Malkus or Misa, or sending him into Golos, so you have to give him a break. So you always go Lakula. So one of the 9 Kulas. One of the 9 kulas that's based on the Hitzilah Ho'eda is that Yosef Mibezin Zakei, Bezin acquitted him, and then they realized that was a mistake in Hapsak, that they can't reverse the Psak. But the Gemara said that's only if they made a mistake, Ha'iroah B'toyas, it's called the Ha'iroah, only if they made a mistake in the Dovash Einat Stukim Oedimbo, they made a mistake in something in the area of Torah Shabbal Peh. But if they made a mistake with Dovash Atzdukim Oedimbo, so then they reversed the psak. That's mamish a toys. The Gemara said beferish. If they made the original psak was that he's pata from Misa because they were misinformed. They weren't told all the information. That's called davishat zduga modimbo. Even if they made a mistake in halacha, but it's only in the area of Torah Shabbal Peh, that's a haruah b'toys. Haruah b'toys. If it's a toys in Torah Shabbal Peh. So that is called Hayro. That's called the Yotze Mibezin Zakai. So if the Bezin made a mistake at the time they gave a Psak, so then you reverse the Psak. You reverse the Psak. That's called Dove Toya. In Dini Mamanis, it's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, if it's obvious mistake. It the nefashis, even if it's a toyeh but v'amishnah, but if it's a mistake in the area of Torah Sheval Peh, so then you say, if they acquitted the fellow, if they were mechayiv misa incorrectly based on Torah Sheval Peh, yasim ebezen chayiv machzir mosel l'schus, you do reverse the psak, but yasim ebezen zakai, then e machzir mosel l'chayiv. In America, they have that in the Constitution, that's called double jeopardy. But the Menachas Chinuch says that it's a mistake. He didn't know what was doing in America. He says that all these nine dinim of Hitzilah, there's only for Jewish people. There's no dinim of Hitzilah. There's no dinim of double jeopardy for Ummah Soilam. In America, they have it even in dinim Amenis, double jeopardy. So that's against the halacha. That's the founding fathers thought that that was the din, even in dinim Amenis. That's mamash. Atos b'davashat stukim odim. That's not correct. It's only in the Foshis and in Malkus and in Oynash Aguf, in Golus, you have these dinim. It doesn't apply to Mominus and it doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, only applies to Bnei Yisrael. So Nachman said, the Balamor learns the same as Rashi. Taisa is not happy with Rashi. They don't learn like Rashi. Taisa says, this is a cheshben. If you make three walls, the fellow would not be willing to pay for all four walls. But if he has three walls already, and then you put up a fourth wall, he would probably be prepared to, he would be happy to pay for half of the fourth wall, and he's going to get benefit from the fact that I have all the four walls. That's how Taisus learns Pshat. Why are you Pata from the Rishayin Shnei Shlishis? You don't pay. That's the Taisus on Dalan on the base. And the third Pshat, what the Machlokes, Tanakhama, and Rabbi Yossi, what are they fighting about? So Taisus says, Oy Mari, Taisus di Mamasu, Shnei Shlishis lo. Oy Mari, the high time, what's the reason? Everyone would be happy to pay for that. This has that on the next daf. Also, they repeat the same shot on Hayom and Aleph that they have over here. Then they quote Rashi said, because Yatzim Bezin Zakai, and they have their kasha. So the Balamor learns the same as Rashi, but he doesn't say what it sounds from Rashi. That if they would have gone to Bezin, the Bezin would have paskin. No, it means they did go to Bezin, and the Bezin paskin potter. And the time Bezin Paskin Potter was correct, it wasn't a mistake. But then, the fact that the case changes. The Makif, the next door neighbor, puts up the fourth wall. Now that there are four walls, and now it is Mahanaim. So that's a discussion in the Gemara, that's what the Balamar refers you to the discussion in the end of Ksubis, the last parak in Ksubis, and in Bava Kamma. What they say, and Yibamis, what they say, Kom Dina Hoda Dina. If Bezin gave a psak, Bishaita the psak was correct. But then the facts changed. The whole nature of the case changes. It's not that it's a glowing Muslim, I pray it was always a mistake. The whole situation changes because the fellow built the fourth wall. So do you say, Kom Dina, once Bezin paskins, the psak is binding? You can only reverse a psak of a Bezin if it's indeed imominous, if it's Toibid Vamishna. Or indeed in the Foshes, if it's Tov B'Dovashat Stukim Odimbo, then you can reverse even to give him the death penalty. If it's a mistaken information, they gave the wrong information. Here, there was Mishaita, there was no mistake. The Psak was correct. So that's a Shaita. They say, Kom Dina, the Psak remains. But it's a Hoda Dina, since the whole situation changed. So now you have to reverse the Psak, because it's a different case. It's a different Shaita. That's what the Balamor learns, that there's the Shaita, Kom Dina, Hoda Dina. The Ramban is not happy with that. He thinks it has nothing to do with Kom Dina Hoda Dina. The Gemara doesn't connect it. The Gemara doesn't use those malitzas anyway. So that's two pshatim, Rashi and Taisus, and the Balamor learns like Rashi, but not the way it sounds from Rashi. If they would have gone to Bezin, Balamor says, talking case, they went to Bezin, and that's the shayla where they say, Kom Dina Hoda Dina. Also, I started to say, over the Tshuvas HaRosh, in Simon, I think either Simon Yud Beis or Yud Gimel, the Simon about Pshar. So the Gemara has in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza, the Gemara has the Loshim Beidina Basa Beidina Loi Daiki. So the simple translation of the words is that it's a psychological discussion. Will it occur to the later Bezin that the earlier Bezin maybe made a mistake and they never checked into the facts of the case to ascertain whether the one who did the Chalitza is actually a brother Min Ha'av? Or will we say, no, they're not going to be medayik. They're not going to open up the case again to discuss it. They see a shtar from the earlier Beznan, so they're going to think that they checked into everything. That's a simple pshat. So the Tshuvas HaRosh, that's quoted by the Bais Yosef there in that siman, learns differently. It doesn't really fit into the Lashon of the Gemara. He uses that Malitza from the Gemara. Maybe he's just using the Malitza from the Gemara. Beidina, Bas Beidina, like that. So he says, whenever the first Bezin gave a psak and the Shaita, that psak was correct, he went to the Bezin of the Ktzais. He went to today, the different Batidinim, and they paskin differently on certain issues. It's Yadua that they have different psakim. So if the first Bezin gave a psak, that's what they hold. And then the later Bezin holds that that's not right. If you would have gone to them, they would have paskin different, but you didn't go to them, you went to the other Bezin. So that's the klal. The Rosh says, Beidina basa Beidina ladak. The later Bezin has no right to overturn the psak of the earlier Bezin because they didn't demonstrate that it's a toy b'dvar mishnah. It's not a toy. They don't agree. But the first psak was made by people who still stick to their psak. They hold that their psak was correct. So that's what the Rosh says. If a Bezin paskin pshara, and let's say, I had a dintara with you and I lost, but al pidin, I would have won. They went to Rav Chaim, Rav Chaim paskin, that the balabasta has to pay for the whole piece of jewelry the Yosha dictates. So then they'll go to another Bezin and say, what are you talking about? And the Chumash, it says, balavima is pater. So the maid should give me back all the money. But since they agreed to the pshara, so the Bezin had a right to paskin pshara. So therefore, the Rosh says, bedina basa bedina loy daika, the later Bezin has no right to overturn the psak of the earlier Bezin, because the earlier Bezin had a right to give the psak, because the baladinim agreed to it at the time. And even though the Gemara says, pshara tzvicha kinyan, you have to make a kinyan suda, it's not that the kinyan is that in case Bezin will say, I have to pay, I'm hereby obligating myself. You don't have to obligate yourself to pay. You have to obligate yourself to follow the psak of the pshara, because they can't force a pshara on you. And we need a Kabbalah's kinyan to demonstrate that you're agreeing to the pshara b'leib sholem. But once you agree b'leib sholem, then you have to pay, because the Bezin made a legitimate psak. There's a psak of din, there's a psak of lefnei mishuras hadin, a psak of yoshe. So that's what the Rosh uses, that melitza in the context, and the Gemara means a totally different thing. Beidina bas beidika loidaiki, it's a psychological umdina. The later Bezin will probably not check into it whether the first Bezin made a mistake or not. Sometimes you have, let's say, there's an issue that was going on for many years. When a woman converts, so you have to have a Bezin of three men. But the woman has to be toivel in the mikveh, so she's undressed, she doesn't have any clothes on. So what do you mean? The woman's going to be toivel in the presence of three men. So some have the practice that the woman is the female convert is toivel in the presence of the mikveh lady, and the Bezin is across the street. And the Bezin sends her to the mikveh, and then they rely on the mikvah lady who says that the woman was tevel and there were no chatzitzes and all the hair went under the water. And others said, what are you talking about? The Bezin has to be there in the room. So the woman should wear a loose bathrobe and cover herself, and she doesn't have to look at them. She has it back. That's the common practice today. Dayan Grosnas, he used to be a dayan in London, so he wrote a whole tshuva about this, and he sent this tshuva to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe was maskin. Moshe didn't know what his name was. He thought that his name was Grosnam. So his name was Grosnas with a samach at the end. So Moshe has a tshuva to Dain Grosnam, printed in the Igros Moshe. So he says he agrees with him that he shows that it's a machloikas. So Rishonim in the beginning of Perek Mitzvah's Chalitza. Whenever you have a Bezin Lekim Adover, so do they have to actually see what's happening? Or as long as it's done under their supervision, they don't have to actually be present to watch. They're across the street. So they used to have tzaddikim, batidinim in Europe. Used to, when it was a woman who was converting, they wouldn't be present. They would tell the mikvah lady to supervise. And others insisted, no, Bezin has to be there. So that's a shaila. If a woman converted and now she wants to marry a Jewish man, so some say the Bezin today is not allowed to check up to find out whether the first Bezin, Beidina Bosa Beidina Loidakib, Sanu did. The later Bezin is not allowed to check up anything on the earlier Bezin. Nobody says like that. That's a total distortion of what the line at Gemara means. If I want to be machmer like Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe says, yim b'ri'evit. If a woman was converted and she already has grandchildren, then she finds out that that wasn't right, that the Bezin was supposed to, more correct, Bezin should have been present, so all of her descendants should all convert, all of her children, all of her grandchildren. Everybody should be megayer again, because it's a sfeik edina, machloikas. So some mistranslate the line. Bedina, Basa Bedina, Ledakia. Later Bezin is not permitted to check into whether the earlier Bezin did Kedin or not. Why not? Why not? If we know they did, we find out. We should find out. The Dishal Kedin is wrong. Bedina, Basa Bedina, Ledakia, the simple Pshat Nehemiah says it's a psychological umdina. They're probably not going to check up. So therefore, we shouldn't allow the first Bezin to write Ishtar Chalitza if they didn't check up to find out that he's the brother from the father, that they have the same father. Or Bedina Basa Bedina Loidaki, the way the Rosh says, means he cannot reverse a psak of the earlier Bezdin just because you don't like it. You can only reverse it if it's mamish a mistake. But if the first Bezdin had the right to issue a psak of Pshara, then a later Bezdin can reverse the psak. That's a psak. Once the case is oiskepaskin, finished. The case is oiskepaskin. That's what Absolvencia used to say. That's the difference between, let's say you have a shayla of basa b'chola, you have a shayla of treifa. So yes, the rabbi. So the rabbi says the behema is a treifa, it's also the basa b'chola is also. So he says if you have a psak of a bezin, the bezin paskins anis chaticha, the bezin paskins anis behema. This is a treifa, and this is basa b'chola, and it's also. And the case is closed. And then you say the psak has chala in the case. And even if the nesivus will come along, the chavis das doesn't agree with the shach. Or someone else is going to come along, Abisha is going to come along, he has no right to reverse the psak because the case was closed. But if you don't have a bezin issuing a psak, you have a chacham, someone who knows your idea. So when a tam chacham gives a psak, he doesn't give a psak. He does not give a psak on this particular case. He says in abstract, if such a shaila should come up, the din is at its mutter. So that's why there's a difference that the members of the bezin may not be related to the bali dinim. Because when you have a bezin giving a psak, the psak is on this case, and the case is closed. So he's a korif to the baldin. But if you have a shayla and a chacham, a shaylas chacham, let's say a shayla whether Anisha has a bedika, and it's a shayla whether it's a maritomi or a maritom. She can ask her husband, she can ask her father or her brother. She may not want to, she may feel uncomfortable, but she can ask a korif why, but a korif can't pass in. It's not a car. He's not paskening on this mara. Yes, kashala on a chicken. I'm not paskening from my mother's chicken. I'm paskening an abstract. If such a chicken should come up, the din is that it'll be muta. They say they have a, there was a great goyin in the 1700s, Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. He was a goyin a goyinim. So they quote a lot of sharp comments that he said. He was a big goyin of learning, and he was very sharp also. So they say, why is it, he was explaining psychologically, why is it that if there's a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon over $10, and the rabbi paskins the favor of one, the other one will hate the rabbi forever. He'll never forgive the rabbi, because he paskin against him on the lousy $10. And if there's a shayla on a treifa on the animal, it's a shayla of $5,000, and the rabbi paskin that it's a treifa, the butcher will not be angry at the rabbi, even though he's losing a fortune of money. How come? So Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz said, the balabas is not so angry that he's losing $10. He's angry why his satcha keneged is getting the $10. But by the treifa, no one's getting the $10. He's the butcher is losing $5,000, or whatever it is, the value of the animal. So since no, his enemy isn't getting the money, that's why he's not going to be angry at the rabbi. So that's, they have that in the books. That was Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz's psychological explanation. There also Soloveitchik thought that it's a difference al pidin also, not just psychological. Also Soloveitchik said, when you're paskin on the treifa, you're not paskining on my animal, you're paskining an abstract. Because Hayruas Chacham is just an abstract. It's not on this particular behemoth. But when you have a din Torah, the bezin paskin's on the case. So since the rabbi paskin against me, he paskin against me, that's why I hold it against him. But when he paskins on the chicken or on the animal, whether it's a treifa or not, it's not a psak on the case, it's a psak issued in abstract. That's one of the differences between Hayuas Chacham and Issa Beheter and a psak of a bezin. Anyway, so what was again? That was the third suggestion that the Gemara gave, that the Machlek is not a comment, and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yossi's Tana Basra Litfuya Kosei Zariyam Megalgon Lamala Vesakol, you make him pay for all the four walls. And Tanakhama says, no, you only make him pay for the fourth wall. So Rashi and the Balamar said, you only pay for the fourth wall because, either because if they would have gone to Bezin, The Baal HaMor says, no, they actually went to Bezin. So, Kom Dina, the Psak remains the same, even though now the facts on the ground changed. Now he built the fourth wall. The Psak B'Shaita was correct, but now that he built the fourth wall, should have been Megalgal Molav Sakol. So he holds Hoda Dina. He reversed the Psak because the whole Shaila changed. And Tarkama holds Kom Dina. He leave the Psak the way it is. And Rashi says, you even apply that Kom Dina. If they, it sounds from Rashi, they never went to a din Torah. If they would have gone, the din would have been. That's very surprising. Anyway, that's the third pshat. Then the Gemara has the fourth pshat, the Iboy Yisema, Makav Nikav Hikav Menayu. In which direction? This is six lines from the bottom of Dalet on the base of Iboy Yisema, Makav Nikav, Yantar Kamasov, Atamadovant Nikav, Magagamal of Sakol. If the Nikav puts up the fourth wall, he demonstrates that he's happy with it. Avaloman Makav, Tanakama holds only if Ahmad time of got Nikiv. If the Nikiv builds the fourth wall, he demonstrates that he's happy with it, then he pays for all. Avalamar Amakiv, in both cases. So again, Rabbi Yossi is Tanabasu Litfui, because he's adding on more. And the last Loshen isn't following that cloud that's usually the case. Called Tanabasu Litvui Kosi, Taisis points it out, Lishnachrina, also Makim Vidik Minet, but in the opposite direction, Tanakama Sabar, and Godaha Makif, Hesarevius, Nami Aivle, whether Makif or Nikif, if he puts up the fourth wall, he pays all. Rabbi Yossi doesn't. Rabbi Yossi is less. Rabbi Yossi is Mekel, not that Tanabasa is adding on. He's Mekel, he's Shizl, Rabbi Yossi is Sova, no. Mama Nikiv, God is Arvius. Who the Ivele, the Goli, Daita, the Nichol, Abba, Mama Makif, no. These are the five Pshotim in the Gemara. Wow. Okay, believe that tomorrow we'll start, we already covered part of the next Marunya, Rav Ravina. Okay. We'll go right there. Good. So you can make it into a cheerful masechta. It doesn't have to be so morose. A lot of things in this masechta are boring. But we're not going to discuss all the boring things. We're going to talk about the cheerful parts. Okay.